I ran away on a Tuesday afternoon in late March, 6 p.m. and I was headed southwest in a train that smelled stale. I had put 2 hours and however many kilometres behind me. Walking the length of the carriage and back again to stretch my legs, I lurched and pitched with and against the movement of the train. I'd done it now. Right decision, wrong decision, my decision. I'd woken up in my room in the boarding house like normal, but I didn't feel normal. It wasn't a cold or a headache. I padded down to the kitchen and tried to pinpoint the feeling. It was a bit like a stomach ache, maybe. I scraped butter and Vegemite onto a piece of toast and felt very strange. Taking myself back to bed, I rested the toast on the pillow. The school uniform hanging across the back of the chair made the feeling worse. The pile of homework, either half-finished or blatantly ignored on the seat of the chair, made it very bad indeed. "You're going to be late, Longley?" Tess, the boarding house prefect, called through the door. "Meh," I said back, my voice doona muffled. "Year 12 assembly this morning, it's compulsory." Some old girl was coming to talk to us, some 28-year-old success story. I could just imagine how it would go. Claire or Charlotte or Olivia would drone on about how St. Thomas's had set her up for life and how, wow, look at her now. She never would have thought she could win a scholarship to Oxford and get a job in a corporate law firm and buy a pearl necklace and have over-blow-dried hair and an orthodontic smile if it weren't for her education here. It was all I could do to lie like a corpse. I couldn't go to that assembly. "Are you sick?" "Probably." "Faker." I heard her shoes tap. She always jigged while making her mind up. "Well, you'd better go see the nurse." Jig, tap, tap, tap. "Don't get a detention." But I wouldn't go see the nurse. I just wished I was somewhere else. Lulled by the clacking and the whoosh, I was pleased with train travel. It was kind of serious and old-fashioned and made me feel good. Perhaps because the chairs were ancient on this train, much older than me. I imagined that my parents, hells, probably my grandparents too, had sat in these same chairs for the journey from Emmyvale to Melbourne and back again. It hadn't been a planned escape. I suppose I would say I'd accidentally fled. I'd been invited to the principal's office, more like a summons. I sat where I was told in the second nicest chair I'd ever sat in. I'd been in the principal's office once for my scholarship interview, and the chairs in there were the nicest chairs in the school and possibly the world, all leather and studded. These ones were almost as nice. The VP's face was stony, but there was something about her mouth that I think was trying to be kind. "Hello, Adelaide. How are you?" "Good." I was nervous. I didn't know what I was supposed to have done, but I was feeling a very strong urge to apologise for whatever it was. Then, after a pathetic knock at the door, the school counsellor came in and sat on the chair beside mine. I smelled a trap. Fight or flight, I wondered. I bit the insides of my cheeks and felt my face turn all harsh and mean. Mia called it my cat's bum face. The VP looked into my eyes, her mouth frog-lined straight. "Do you know why I've asked you to come in here today?" I wanted to shrug and scowl. I shook my head. "Your teachers have noticed a decline in the quality of your work." My ears unfocused and a ringing started up, pinging through me like panic. Her words breached the ringing in snippets. "Must be serious. This is year 12. You've always been such a pleasure until, as a scholarship student, reconsider our support." I turned to stone right there on her fancy chair. I'd worked really hard, for years, been on my best behaviour for 5 years, done my homework, acted like a role model, smiled through a toothache to debate, being called a nerd while trying to fit in. I was stone with an aching, flaming centre. This education cost too much.